If you want to get to God, you have to come through Him. Well, I'm gonna give you, preacher, here's $100. Go feed the hungry. Well, that's wonderful, as long as you don't think that's gonna get you to God. Here's me. I'm going to go and feed the hungry. As long as you don't think that's going to get you to God. Because if you think that, what God's going to say is, have you seen my son? Don't break the chain of command. You got to come through him. You have to come through Jesus Christ.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Royal by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, and you won't find a more loving group of people to worship with and to serve alongside. We'd love for you to come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
Now, this morning, we're going to talk about a king who is much more than any cartoon or even a real king. He alone is the supreme, undefeated, eternal king of the universe, who not only created everything, but he also came to redeem it. We messed it up. He came to redeem it. And now he rules forevermore, and he demands our allegiance. We're talking about King Jesus. When we talk about placing our faith in Jesus, don't think of faith as this belief, this trust. Well, I prayed the prayer and I'm trusting him. Trust in the biblical context is swearing your allegiance to your king. You have your Bibles with you? Turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. And we're going to see this. We're going to see how Christ is our Creator King. This series is going to bring out a new aspect of Christ as our King for the next 5 weeks. So you have your Bibles, Colossians 1, verse 9. Let's all stand once again for the reading of God's Word. Paul says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Paul is praying that the Colossian Christians will grow in their spiritual understanding. What is my prayer? What is my desire for our church? The same that Paul had, that you would grow in your spiritual knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, of the truth about Jesus Christ, of salvation, of the things to come. Then for time's sake, let's jump over to verse 12. "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, He has delivered us." Now pay attention to these words. "He has delivered us from the power," the word is dominion, kingdom. "He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and conveyed us, transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." When you and I get saved, there's a transfer that takes place from the evil dominion to the kingdom of the beloved Son. How does this transfer happen? Listen to verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through His blood." This is not a king who sits back on his throne and demands things from you and takes things unjustly because he is king. He's earned the right because he paid it with his blood. The redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Before we pray, there are only two kingdoms in this world. One is the evil kingdom, and the other is the good kingdom. One is Satan's kingdom, and the other is Christ's kingdom. Which kingdom do you belong to? Which kingdom do you belong to? Is Jesus Christ truly your king? Here's the thing. Thank you. When it comes to Christ being your king, You cannot say no to the king. What happens if you say no to the king? Off with your head. And yet we do it all the time. We pick and choose what we want to obey, but if he is truly your king, you have to obey no matter the cost. Is Christ your king? You say, oh, he is my Savior, he is my Lord. Is he your king? As I pray this morning, if you've never asked him to be your king, as I pray, you pray and ask him to come into your life. Not to just sit in a corner somewhere, but to rule, to reign in your heart. Now, this message begins our Christmas series called Royal. Most of the Bible deals with God being our king. It refers to God as our supreme king. But if you don't understand how it is to live in a kingdom and to obey the king and to follow the king, this is hard to understand. No wonder, how do we do it? Our Christian life is like a buffet. We pick and choose, just like we pick and choose our leaders. And if you don't like them, you vote them out of the office. You don't vote the king out of any office. He is king, and that's it. So when it comes to Christ, the reason we have a hard time understanding who he is and what he's done is that we don't understand what rulers and kings are all about. We don't elect Christ to kingship. We simply declare our allegiance to him. We don't pick and choose what we're going to obey and not obey. We obey no matter the cost. But unlike earthly kings who operate by fear and threats, Jesus Christ is that king who came and laid down his life for his subjects. Isn't that beautiful? He died for us. Our king did not sit back and say, you go fight sin. He said, I'll fight it. In fact, I will take it upon myself. This morning, we're going to see the first of this message. This is going to be a great series. Next week, we're going to talk about the good king. Compared to King David, Jesus was a good king. We're going to talk about the humble king. We're going to talk about the universal king. Even Magi's, Persians from the east came to worship him and said, where is the king? And then we're going to talk about the coming king. But this morning, our focus is on our creator kings. Basically, 2 points. That's it. The first is, our king created and sustains everything. Say with me that word. Everything. Listen to what it says in verse 15. He, meaning Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of over all creation. Now, 2 words there. First is image, and the second word is firstborn. What does it mean when we say Christ is the image of the invisible God? Well, immediately we think about Genesis 1:27. What does it say? It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. To be created in the image of God, listen carefully, is to have God's authority. God ruled the world when he made Adam and Eve in his image. He gave them authority to rule the world. Something else. To be made in the image of God is to have God's attributes. We were made in the image of God, which means we have another attribute that we can communicate with God. We can have a relationship with God. So when Paul says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, is this what he meant? Was he talking about having certain attributes of God? Was he talking about having certain authority from God? Not really. Please listen carefully. Adam was made in the image of God. Jesus is the image of God. There's a subtle difference, but it's a substantial difference. Adam was made in the image. Jesus is the image. He said, what is the difference? Well, think about it. It's like a blueprint. When we build this building, we had to have a blueprint. And I remember walking here, there would be a blueprint over there, a blueprint over here. The guys would come look over it, and then they would go back and do their work. Adam had the blueprint of God. He had a copy. Adam was made, listen carefully, when the word image is used, he was made as a copy, but he was not the real deal. He was a blueprint. The real building was Jesus. Y'all get the difference? Jesus is the real building. Here's a better way to say it. He is the DNA of God. You see that word image. Don't miss this. The word image, icon, means the essence, the being of something. What is my essence? Where do you find my essence? You say, oh, soul. Let's not get that deep. My essence is my DNA. Well, that's why you have DNA testing, to find out who you are, your attributes, why certain things are a certain way. It's just part of who I am. It's my system. It's my essence. When Paul says Jesus is the image of God, he is saying he is the DNA of God. He is not like God. He is not someone who resembles God. He is God. Did y'all get that? He is God. We believe Father, Son, Spirit, three and yet one. Jesus is co-equal with God. He is not demigod. He is not semi-God. He is not like God. He is God. Are y'all getting this? He has everything that the Father has. But then there is a second word that is used, is the word firstborn. What does it mean, firstborn? Firstborn, it means exactly what that word says. Is the first child born in the family. For example, Reuben was the first child born to Jacob through Leah. He was the firstborn of Jacob. But when Paul uses this, he has much more than chronology in mind. Did you know that word firstborn also means the legal heir? Means he has everything that the Father has. He is the firstborn. He has all the authority. He has all the power. Everything belongs to him. So, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. But now listen to verse 16. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. Who made it? By everything. We mean everything above, on the surface, below the surface. Everything was made by Jesus Christ. Don't misunderstand, that baby in the manger was the Son of God, came as man, but even before that, he always existed. In fact, everything that exists came through him. Listen again to that verse. For by him all things were created. What are those all things? This entire world in which we live. The earth. I mean, did you know that when you think about the earth, we're talking about the animals, we're talking about the fish, we're talking about the birds, we're talking about all the critters. Somebody had estimated that there are 8.7 million species in the world. And so far, they have discovered and cataloged only 1.2 million. Every year, they discover 15,000 more. Isn't that crazy? Who made them all? Jesus made it. He made them all. Every single one of them. Every bird you've ever seen. Every animal in the sea you've ever seen. Every animal roaming the face of the earth, domestic or wild. Jesus made it. That's a lot of species, folks. Every plant, every bush, every blade of grass, every tiny little whatever growing in the ocean, he made it. What else did he make? He made us. He made every single human being that comes into this world since Adam and Eve. He's made them all. That's why killing babies is wrong. It's a sin. I don't know how people don't get it, because Jesus made it. And when you kill that baby, whether inside the womb or anywhere else, it is a sin against God. You're creating, you're destroying His creation. I don't know how people don't think that issue matters. And we are a complex being. Would you agree? I didn't say complicated, because some of us are complicated. We are a complex being. I mean, take any part of our body. For example, take the eye. Did you know that in every human eye, if you take that one square millimeter of the retina, there's about 400,000 optical sensors in just that one square millimeter. I tried to study on that. I was like, how do we explain this? And I read here and there. This is what I found. If you were to think about those sensors as a tennis ball, about this big, and they're not attached to each other. They're sitting side by side, spread out. But if one square millimeter has 400,000 on it, imagine if every sensor was the size of a tennis ball separated from the other with the same diameter of a tennis ball. You would need 3 hot air balloons to be able to cover 400,000 sensors. And every one of you has them. We talk about megapixels, right? I have an iPhone, Android, but whose camera is better? Your eye has over 500 megapixels. That's just what they're finding. Back up a little bit. We're talking about the earth. We're talking about the inhabitants. But if you back up and think about our universe, did you know who made this universe? Jesus made him. Let me give you some stats. The sun is about 93 million miles away from us. That's a lot of miles. Nicole's family, extended family, was having a get-together, and they're just, 500 miles away? We didn't go. That's too far to drive through the rough traffic. Can you imagine 93 million miles away? That's as far as the sun is from us. But here's something. Hold on to your hats if you happen to have one. Did you know that the diameter, and this is a scientist guessing, looking at telescopes, they're guessing. The diameter of the entire universe, they say, is about 93 billion light years. He said, I'm lost. One light year is about 5.88 million trillion miles. One light year is 5.88 trillion miles. For me to calculate that on the calculator, you'll get an E. You know what I mean by an E? It tells you there's not enough room for zeros. Guess who made it? But he didn't stop there. I want you to get this, folks. He not only made all this, but he also made thrones and dominions and principalities and powers, which is angelic beings and spirit beings and various level of spirit beings, good and evil. Are you ready for this? Even Satan himself was made by Jesus. Remember, he is a fallen angel. Who made them all? Jesus did. That's why when people talk about as if Jesus and Satan are going to have this bout and I'm going to cast my vote with Jesus, you're putting Jesus and Satan on the same level as if you're going to put Mike Tyson and me on the same level when he was sane. There is no comparison. There is none. He made it all. Who is your king? You know, when people talk about afraid about what's going to happen in the world and what's going on in the world and they're so terrified about this and that, you got the wrong king, because my king controls and rules the entire universe. What else? Listen to this, verse 16. All things were created through him and for him. Any only child in this place? Oh, we got a couple here and there. Okay, good, good. Christmas morning when your parents said, "Hey, let's go see what Santa brought for you." How many of you looked around for your siblings to come? Like, I got to share this. Did you know the entire universe and everything in it, on it, below it, above it, even us, were made for Jesus Christ? You say, where are you going with all of this? What I'm asking you to understand is that Christ is so much greater and more powerful than the caricature we have made him out to be. Listen to verse 17. "And he was before all things, and in him all things consist." Means he sustains everything. He not only created it all, but he also sustains it. He gives it life. When they nailed him to the cross, he made that tree from which they made the cross. He made the iron that made the nail and the hammer and the hand and the person. He made it all. If I were God, I would have done, we're done. The whole world would have imploded. And yet he allowed it. Folks, don't be amazed with what I'm saying to you. Be amazed with the fact that Jesus Christ is the sovereign, all-powerful King. What is the application? So many applications. How well do you know your King? How well do you understand who Christ is? And what are you afraid of? Our Creator King made everything, and he sustains everything. But now let's go to the second point. Our King came to redeem and to reconcile everything. Listen to verse 18. "And he is the head of the body, the church." Now this is powerful because Paul does not tell us anything about how the fall came and how human beings sinned and we are under the wrath of God. Nothing is mentioned. He just skips over and talks about the new creation. Not the new creation in the end where there will be a new heavens and a new earth. He's talking about the new creation as in the church, the people of God. Did you know that I'm not the head of this church? I simply work for him. I simply do what he has told us to do. I'm simply here to tell you what he has said in his word. That's my job. You have a problem? Take it up with him. He's the boss. Folks, if it's in this book, you have no choice but to listen and obey. He is the head of the body. Not only the universal church, but every local church belongs to him. And when we try to take over, or when we think we know better, or when we live in fear of what the world is going to do to the church, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Now listen to verse 18. "Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead." This Creator King, he's not only the head of the church, but he's also the firstborn from the dead. Go back to that firstborn. He's the legal heir, which means this. He has power over life and over death. Firstborn means he was the first to come out of the grave. But something else. Firstborn also means this. One day I'm going to die, and at the right time, he's going to bring me out of the grave as well. He has that power. He has that authority. He is the Prince of Life. This is the Jesus I worship. Listen to verse 18 again. "And in all things, he may have the preeminence." In everything, Jesus should be supreme. In the creation and in the recreation, the church, Jesus is supreme. What is the motto of our church? Making Christ visible. Because it's all about him. Verse 19. "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. And by him," listen to this, "to reconcile all things to himself." By him is because Jesus, the Creator, not only redeemed us but rose from the grave. Now he has the power to forgive sins and give life from the grave. If you want to get to God, you have to come through him. "Well, I'm going to give you, preacher, here's $100. Go feed the hungry." Well, that's wonderful, as long as you don't think that's going to get you to God. Here's here's me, I'm going to go and feed the hungry. As long as you don't think that's going to get you to God. Because if you think that, what God's going to say is, have you seen my son? Don't break the chain of command. You got to come through him. You have to come through Jesus Christ. And something more beautiful here. Put that verse back up there. It says, by him to reconcile all things to himself. That word reconciliation, really what it meant was, the person offended had to reconcile with the person that has been offended. The way Paul uses this passage, what he's saying is, he reconciled, he initiated the reconciliation. Isn't that beautiful? Folks, you did not think about getting saved. It's God who reached down to you. Everything comes from him. You made a choice. But even there, he opened your eyes that you could make that choice. Everything is done through Jesus Christ. And then, listen to this, whether things on earth or things in heaven, folks, these are mysteries too deep to understand. How in the world are things in heaven going to be reconciled? I guess we're just going to wait and find out. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Means in your mind, you were angry with God. And God reached down and brought you near. Listen to verse 22. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, means now he has exchanged your ugliness and your sinfulness with holiness and blamelessness. If indeed, now this is powerful, don't miss this. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. Because when you truly understand that Jesus is your Savior and your King, whatever he says goes. You may make mistakes, you may slip, but that's when he helps you. But if you begin your Christian life already saying, I may or may not obey, you may or may not see me, you need to get saved today. Where do you stand? Is Christ truly your King? Is he the one who rules your heart? Have you been reconciled to him and received the exchange of holiness and his righteousness? Are you obedient to him? What are you going to do? Your King has told you to go into all the world, preach the gospel. Go across the street to that neighbor, to talk to that man at work. You go into Flint Hill, where you find people you've never seen, may never see otherwise, but you are to love your neighbor as yourself, means you have to love them the way you love yourself. Go to the other side of the world. You have to obey your King. He's more than just a baby in the crib. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. This Christmas season, we've got to remember that Jesus wasn't just a little baby born in a manger 2,000 years ago. He's the Creator King. Through him, everything was created, and he is the rightful King of our hearts. This Christmas season, give your life and your allegiance to the one true King. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org, and for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadonshaw.com.